Chapter 4. Unlike the Russian intelligence officer so often stereotyped in American motion pictures, Captain Andrei Prevlov had neither bull shoulders nor shaven head. He was a well-proportioned, handsome man who sported a layered hairstyle and a modishly trimmed mustache. His image, built around an orange Italian sports car and a plushly furnished apartment overlooking the Moscow River, didn't sit too well with his superiors in the Soviet Navy's Department of Foreign Intelligence. Yet, despite Prevlov's irritating leanings, there was little possibility of his being purged from his high position in the department. The reputation he had carefully constructed as the Navy's most brilliant intelligence specialist, and the fact that his father was number 12 man in the party, combined to make Captain Prevlov untouchable. With a practiced, casual movement, he lit a Winston and poured himself a shot glass of Bombay gin. Then he sat back and read through the stack of files that his aide, Lieutenant Pavel Marganin, had laid on his desk. "It's a mystery to me, sir," Marganin said softly, "how you can take so easily to Western trash." Prevlov looked up from a file and gave Marganin a cool, disdainful stare. "Like so many of our comrades, you are ignorant of the world at large. I think like an American, I drink like an Englishman, I drive like an Italian, and I live like a Frenchman. And do you know why, Lieutenant?" Marganin flushed and mumbled nervously, "No, sir." "To know the enemy, Marganin. The key is to know your enemy better than he knows you, better than he knows himself. Then do unto him before he has a chance to do unto you." "Is that a quote from Comrade Nervchetsky?" Prevlov shrugged in despair. "No, you idiot, I'm bastardizing the Christian Bible." He inhaled and blew a stream of smoke through his nostrils and sipped the gin. "Study the Western ways, my friend. If we do not learn from them, then our cause is lost." He turned back to the files. "Now then, why are these matters sent to our department?"
"No reason, other than that the incident took place on or near a seacoast."
"What do we know about this one?" Prevlov snapped open the next file.
"Very little. A soldier on guard patrol at the North Island of Novaya Zemlya is missing, along with his dog."
"Hardly grounds for a security panic. Novaya Zemlya is practically barren. An outdated missile station, a guard post, a few fishermen. We have no classified installation within hundreds of miles of it. Damned waste of time to even bother sending a man and a dog out to patrol it."
"The West would no doubt feel the same way about sending an agent there."
Prevlov's fingers drummed the table as he squinted at the ceiling. Finally, he said, "An agent. Nothing there, nothing of military interest. Yet..." He broke off and flicked a switch on his intercom. "Bring me the National Underwater and Marine Agency ship placements of the last 2 days." Marganin's brows lifted.
"They wouldn't dare send an oceanographic expedition near Novaya Zemlya. That's deep within Soviet waters."
"We do not own the Barents Sea," Prevlov said patiently. "It is international waters." An attractive blonde secretary, wearing a trim brown suit, came into the room, handed a folder to Prevlov, and then left, closing the door softly behind her. Prevlov shuffled through the papers in the folder until he found what he was looking for. "Here we are. The Numa vessel first attempt, last sighted by one of our trawlers 325 nautical miles southwest of Franz Josef Land."
"That would put her close to Novaya Zemlya," Marganin said.
"Odd," Prevlov muttered. "According to the United States Oceanographic Ship Operating Schedule, the first attempt should have been conducting plankton studies off North Carolina at the time of this sighting." He downed the remainder of the gin, mashed out the butt of his cigarette, and lit another. "A very interesting concurrence."
"What does it prove?" Marganin asked.
"It proves nothing, but it suggests that the Novaya Zemlya patrol guard was murdered and the agent responsible escaped.
most likely rendezvoused with the first attempt. It suggests that the United States is up to something when a NUMA research ship deviates from her planned schedule without explanation. What could they possibly be after? I haven't the foggiest notion. Prevloff leaned back in his chair and smoothed his mustache. Have the satellite photos enlarged of the immediate area at the time of the event in question. The evening shadows were darkening the streets outside the office windows when Lieutenant Marganin spread the photo blow-offs on Prevlov's desk and handed him a high-powered magnifying glass. Your perceptiveness paid off, sir. We have something interesting here. Prevloff intently studied the pictures. I see nothing unusual about the ship. Typical research equipment, no military detection hardware in evidence. Marganin pointed at a wide-angle photo that barely revealed a ship at a small white mark on the emulsion. Please note the small shape about 2,000 meters from the first attempt in the upper right corner. Prevloff peered through the glass for almost a full half minute. A helicopter? Yes, sir. That's why I was late with the enlargements. I took the liberty of having the photos analyzed by Section R. One of our Army security patrols, I imagine. No, sir. Prevlov's brows raised. Are you suggesting that it belongs to the American vessel? That's their guess, sir. Marganin placed two more pictures in front of Prevloff. They examined earlier photos from another reconnaissance satellite. As you can see by comparing them, the helicopter is flying on a course away from Novaya Zemlya toward the first attempt. They judged its altitude at 10 feet and its speed at less than 15 knots. Obviously avoiding our radar security, Prevloff said. Do we alert our agents in America? Said Marganin. No, not yet. I don't want to risk their cover until we're certain what it is the Americans are after. He straightened the photographs and slipped them neatly into a folder, then looked at his Omega wristwatch. I've just time for a light supper before the ballet. Do you have anything else, Lieutenant? Only the file on the Lorelei current drift expedition. The American deep-sea submersible was last reported in 15,000 feet of water off the coast of Dakar. Prevloff stood up, took the file, and shoved it under his arm. I'll study it when I get a chance. Probably nothing in it that concerns naval security. Still, it should make good reading. Leave it to the Americans to come up with strange and wonderful projects.